been taking a look this week at the caste system. We began in India, but our main focus has been on how caste affects the lives of people in the Indian diaspora right here in the U.S. Our series, Caste in America, was produced with our partners here at WGBH and the Pulitzer Center. And to wrap it up, my colleague Marco Werman spoke with the series' lead reporter, Philip Martin.
This has been a fascinating look so far, Philip, how a whole cultural practice that divides people by class gets exported wholesale across oceans into this country. There's something else we're curious about, and that is fighting caste at the legal level. You spoke with someone about caste and how it links to discrimination. What did you hear?
Well, think about caste in the context of our Constitution, for example. It doesn't exist. There are all types of prohibitions that are against the Constitution. And there are all types of things that that are no-nos in the context of our legal system. But caste is not one of them. And one of the people I spoke with is Kevin Brown. He's a professor at Indiana University School of Law who's done a lot of work on caste. In fact, juxtaposed it with racism here in the United States. And what he said about caste is this.
We in the U.S. just haven't had as much experience with problems within the Indian communities that moved to the United States. So our legal system hasn't caught up to that. Unfortunately, then, there are very little protections for Dalits in the United States for the discrimination that they encounter here.
So, Philip, are there specific cases or a specific case that shows kind of where we're at with caste in the United States legally?
Well, there are many cases. One was discussed by a fellow named Raju Kamble. He's a former chemical engineer in Houston. And Mr. Kamble, who died last August, recounted the story of a student who was initially accepted into a Ph.D. Science program at a major research university in Alabama and then allegedly rejected by the lab's director.
And the professor was of Indian origin, and he wanted to check on the caste background of the students whom he was considering for admission. And the moment he came to know about his caste, he denied that student who now completed his studies has not decided to go to the court of law.
So the student alleged caste-based discrimination at a U.S. university but did not take legal action. He decided against it. Why?
Well, he's decided against it because there are few protections within the context of America's legal system against caste. And so even if he had gone to a court of law, the U.S. doesn't recognize the concept of caste. So it's not included in any of our laws that prohibit discrimination.
So that case that you were talking about, that's a few years ago. Have you come across any more recent examples of legal action?
We have indeed. We spoke with Dalits in New York City who work in that area that folks call Curry Hill. Lots and lots of Indian restaurants. And this fellow was working as a waiter. He's from Nepal. And he alleged that he was humiliated by the upper caste managers and staff there, humiliated to the point that he had to quit. And that humiliation included staff at the restaurant refusing to sit with this individual and constantly making reference to his caste. He's a Dalit.
A so-called untouchable.
That's correct.
So what happened with that situation at the restaurant?
The lawyer for the waiter took the case to New York's Human Rights Commission, which decided that there was nothing they could do because caste is not a prohibitive behavior. They've never dealt with it before. And so they suggested that she take it elsewhere. She then took the case to, and where it is being considered right now, to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which, of course, is a federal body. And we have yet to see what happens with that case. Now, I spoke with the owner of the restaurant who lives in New Jersey. He acknowledged that the case has been brought, acknowledged that this is an issue that they're dealing with, but decided he would not speak with us until the case is resolved one way or the other.
I wonder, though, if there are ways that, like, institutions such as universities or schools are kind of formulating their own policies outside of, like, federal guidelines.
Well, yes. You find this with Brandeis University, for example.
Yeah, right here in the Boston area.
That's right. Spurred on by Larry Simon, a professor at the Heller School at Brandeis, and he is making a major effort, along with the vice president for diversity, to include caste as a prohibited behavior at Brandeis.
What are we hearing from the students at Brandeis about this movement?
The students, who particularly those who are classified as Dalits, again, so-called untouchables, they welcome this. And many upper caste and dominant caste Indians sometimes don't see it themselves, but it's been brought to their attention. But it's type of behavior that basically has been imported. It's something you've learned all your life, you've been privileged all your life, and you don't necessarily see it. Many people compare it to sort of white skin privilege in the United States.
So universities like Brandeis are taking this on. What can they do on a practical level, though, if they hear of caste-based discrimination? Like, do these policies actually have teeth?
So Brandeis figures it is on solid ground. If students feel intimidated, if they feel harassed, if they feel that they have been discriminated against, this is a prohibition against that type of discrimination. In this case, we're talking about the caste system, the hierarchical system imported, again, from Southeast Asia, which is impacting students in the United States. And by the way, it's not just Brandeis. Harvard University is considering this, as is some faculty at the University of California, Berkeley, at universities in Texas. To the degree that they're trying to do something about it, it's not clear yet, but there have been discussions.
I got to say, this was a really interesting topic. Of all the forms of discrimination in the United States, caste is going to be unfamiliar to some people, but an important one to talk about. What are your main takeaways from reporting on this series on caste, Philip?
It's not the imagination of people who experience it, whether in high tech, where H-1B visas are involved, the restaurant industry on university campuses, and within some communities where Dalits have reported being discriminated against in housing in New York City and New Jersey, for example, by upper caste Indians. Caste is not always explicated, but they determine after taking away many other factors that that's the only thing that's left. The last name, the surname of individuals suggesting who they are and where they come from. The other takeaway is that you can juxtapose caste with race in the United States. Obviously, it's not exact, but those juxtapositions are important. Kevin Brown, a professor of law at Indiana University, has been doing this for some time. He says that caste is not a protected class, but you can, in fact, perhaps make a case based on precedents regarding race. And that's something that we can pursue in a later series, perhaps.
Philip Martin with our partners at WGBH here in Boston. Philip was the lead reporter for our series this week on Caste in America. He spoke with the world's Marco Werman.